Welcome to the final episode of our video podcast.
State of the Church.
I always say Church of the State. State of the Church series. Thank you so much for joining us all the way through this. We're just going to kind of wrap it up a little bit with Lynn and I. And I'm going to start. We've done this before, but I'm going to start with four quick hitter questions. So these are like, don't think about it a lot. Just kind of go with the flow, okay?
We'll see.
You ready?
I'm not promising anything.
Are you ready?
I will do my best.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, good enough. Okay, so first one's a little bit more serious. Okay. Get a little bit less serious as we go. First one is, I frequently, and at least twice in this series, talked about three things that God asked me to surrender. What were those three?
He asked you to surrender control, surrender the crowds, and surrender your voice.
Very good, very good. See, that was easy. Number two, what was your favorite State of the Church session that I did?
That you did.
Can't remember any of them, can you?
I can.
Okay.
I liked the Next Generation one.
Okay, yeah.
And part of that was the story about the youth group and the kid giving his testimony. And
yeah.
My heart is definitely for the Next Gen. And yeah. So that one resonated. And the prayer one. My two things. So
you were on a number of different, in fact, you were just saying a number of different response kind of parts, the response podcast.
Yes.
You said this is number four.
This is number four.
So who was your favorite co-host? You had quite a few.
I love them all. They were all different. Everyone was different. Are you included in that?
Well, I'm one of your co-hosts.
You're a little harder on me than the other ones were, so I'll go Jake.
Jake? Okay. Brandy and Wendy and
Brandy,
Crystal.
Wendy, Crystal.
Everybody's
Jake,
lower than Jake.
Other Brandy.
Jason. Was Jason?
No,
Jason was,
I took Jason's place.
Oh,
I
that's
was Jason
right. Okay.
For the Next Generation.
The other Brandy.
One. The other Brandy Weaver Gates, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm down
you,
at the bottom of the list.
No. I said, we have hardly started here.
Last
so,
question, be honest. Do you love doing these video deals or really love doing these video deals?
My answer is C, none of the above.
You guys may not realize this, but Lynn says to me every time that I ask her to do something like this, like she hates it, but she really does a great job. So if anybody thinks that she's doing a great job with these,
stop.
Just go ahead and send her an email,
okay.
Lynn at
calvaryfc.org.
Because we need to encourage her so that she does more of this. We're going to do probably together another Mother's Day thing.
Are we?
So, anyway, to kind of wrap up this whole series, we'll talk a little bit about the one that you just watched, my final challenge. But we also want to just respond a little bit to all of the series. So first question, three things were on my heart as I gave this last challenge. One was, God has chosen you for such a time as this. I, you know, just really believing that God is on the move. And I know, I feel like I've said that every year, every few years for the almost 30 years that we've been here. But I really do believe we see evidence of God in the move. So God has chosen you for this time and this work. That was
Kairos
one of the things I
moment.
Said. Kairos moments. Very good. And second was seek God with all your heart. I mean, that always has to be at the heart of what we're doing. It's not just our strategies and our programs. It's seeking God with all our heart. And then finally, be strong and do the work.
Yep.
So there's hard work. God doesn't just say, hey, I'm just going to make this all magically appear for you. Some of it is hard heart work. Some of it is hard relational work. Some of it is ministry work. But out of those, God has chosen you for this time and this work. Seek God with all your heart. Be strong and do the work. Which of those connect the most with you, Lynn, and why?
Say what the second one was again.
Seek God with all your heart, and he will be found. Be strong and do the work, and God has chosen you for such a time as this.
All of them to some degree connect with me, but I think seek God with all your heart, that's where God's had me in the last couple years, is really pursuing relationship with him, pursuing a deeper depth to understanding how loved I am by him. I think that's the place where it's so easy to slip back into old thinking of, I have to earn it. I have to, you know, do whatever, be a certain way to love him and to get to that. When I get to that deep knowledge that I am loved beyond measure, unconditionally, that transforms how I love others. Yeah. And for me, that's the goal, is love God, love others. And I would change it to be loved by God.
Yeah.
And you can love others.
Yeah, good. And for you, I mean, a lot of that kind of started during COVID.
It did, yeah. Talk not all of it, but a lot of it. I mean, I had been doing classes for spiritual direction before COVID. The last one, one was Zoom when it was during COVID.
Training to be a spiritual director,
which is really sitting with someone else. My favorite description of it is watching the one you love, God, love another, the person that I'm sitting with. So that's been a deep shaping of my heart and desire for other people to have a greater understanding or sense of the Holy Spirit and rhythms of grace in their life and how he's moving. And but again, all that is so grounded on us knowing that we're loved by God.
Yeah. I think one of the things for me that impacted me and the reason why I shared what I did as kind of the final challenge, but going off of what you said, one of the paradigm shifts that we've talked about making here at Calvary is rather than having a church that's based on one to many, it's really one to few. And spiritual direction is one of the one to few ways.
Yep.
I was just talking with somebody this morning about the whole idea that, you know, there's life coaching. We talk a lot at Calvary about coaching. There's spiritual formation. There's counseling. You know, we have some great counselors who are connected to Calvary. Talking about mental health issues, there's mentoring. But all of that is kind of that one-to-one or one-to-few kind of way. And I really believe that that's part of Be Strong and Do the Work is that one-to-few. Not just one person getting up and doing all the work and we receive it. But in a program or a sermon or worship service or whatever, but really getting a feeling for what does it look like for me personally and every one of you listening to personally engage and be strong and do the work and do that for others. What somebody has done for you, you can do for somebody else.
Yeah. I think that's been one of the negative impacts of COVID and quarantining. I think people, we've gotten very used to not reaching out to others, kind of staying, not serving, not reaching out to others. It's more in my comfort zone. I think that the thing that maybe scared a lot of us the most at the beginning of when we were quarantining was getting relationships taken away. Mm. And then it became kind of a norm of hunkering down and just doing what I feel like I'm comfortable with at home. And we're missing out on the be strong and do the work, but we're missing out on the blessing of that. Yeah. There's such a joy, and God blesses and rewards when we pour into others. And there's an indescribable joy when you watch someone else connect with God and when you watch transformation happening. And so I think we have to keep working to get to that place.
We've said here at Calvary, as a staff, as a leadership, that really our metric for this coming season is engagement. And the whole idea of people, individual people being on the team, not just in the crowd, fans in the stands versus players on the field. And so that, again, that's to me, that's part of that be strong and do the work. So as you think back over the whole state, of the church, the whole state.
Pennsylvania?
bad place to pause. The whole State of the Church podcast series. What are some of the things that have stuck with you? Like some of it was, for you was, oh yeah, that was good. But some of it was like, oh man, don't miss that. I dare not forget this part of it.
Yeah.
What do you hope people take away from this series?
I think a few things. One is the whole importance of prayer that kind of undergirds all of this. If we're not praying, we're not going to reach our neighborhoods. If we're not praying, we're not going to reach the next generation. If we're not praying, we're not going to have vibrant lives that are lived out for Christ.
Yeah.
And I think we, in our heads, we say, yes, prayer is important, but I don't know that we live that out very often. And so I think that the prayer built, for 20 yeah. plus years, you've talked about building a house of prayer. And I think that still is in process, and it's still one of the most important things. Yeah. And then for me, the next part is the next generation. God has just, I can remember sitting up in my cabin a year ago, and, you know, we live on the grounds of Harvest Fields, and Wednesday nights youth group would be down in the church, and I knew they were short leaders, but I was just choosing to be up in the cabin, mm-hmm. having quiet time alone, and God really convicted me, if you really do care about the next generation, why aren't you down at yeah. the church? And it, you know, it's a hard, I think sometimes we almost feel like we're tired, we've worked a lot, we've done, you know, it's, we almost feel entitled, and sometimes we are, so I'm not saying everyone has sure. to do, but when God prompted, or convicted me, I guess, of my heart's for the youth, I'm praying for the youth, but you're not going to go down and give yeah. 2 hours a week to be with them, and I think some of us, as the older generation, we kind of count ourselves because we're not going to connect with the youth. Honestly, all they want is someone to love them, to listen to them, to be there for them. They want authentic leaders, and I've gotten so much more out of it than any of the kids have gotten out of it. Yeah. But it is a step out of our comfort zone, a step out of maybe some downtime that you have, and a decision, what's more important? Do I care about prayer? Do I care about the next generation? Do I care about the state of the church in yeah. general?
Am I going to do something about it?
Yeah.
And you know, honestly, I would say there's not a single person. So Gen Z is like, you know, 24, 25 and lower, down to, I think, 12 or 13. So it's basically high school, college, yeah. a little bit beyond college. Yep. And honestly, if you're listening to this and you're older than 24, 25, I mean, there's not a single one of us who shouldn't have some way of impacting, of passing mm-hmm. something on. I mean, at a minimum, of course, it's praying for them. But even beyond that, to serve, to encourage. I remember when I went through my leadership development dissertation and asked people, what is it that helped mm-hmm. move you forward in development? And almost without fail, one of the things that came up over and over again was there was somebody who believed yeah. in me. There's somebody who saw something in me. Sometimes they talked about it as mentoring, sponsoring, but it wasn't so much they taught me how to do this as it was they believed in me.
Yeah.
And man, that doesn't require a whole lot of effort to really believe in someone, encourage someone, and give hope to someone. So those are two great areas: prayer and the next generation. I would say, you know, I would add to that, and just kind of, you know, part of the whole, even the CWOW Sunday stuff is just, you can do this. Yeah. You can be on mission. Mm-hmm. Church isn't just what happens on Sunday morning in the four walls of the church when a pastor, when a paid person gets up and does whatever they do. Yeah. You can have church in your home and in the community and in your workplace. You know, just the whole, we've said this so often, but we don't go to church, we are the church.
Yeah.
And to me, that's a huge part. How do we get people engaged? So third question, if you have one prayer request and one challenge for anybody listening,
prayer.
What are you asking them to pray for, and what are you challenging them to do as a result of where God has us at Calvary, and as a result of maybe even listening to this State of the Church podcast? One prayer request, one challenge.
I think I would say for each person listening, I would pray and give God permission to stir up a place in your heart where He wants to show you He loves you more deeply. Not, you know, that this part isn't about serving or what you're doing, but about really understanding the depth of God's love. So pray that God gives you a deeper understanding, however He might choose to do that, of how loved you are. And then the challenge would be, I think, do something. Pick one thing. You don't have to jump into every area, but whether it's, you know, jumping in with a neighbor and spending time with a neighbor or with the youth or serving somewhere, do something that stretches your comfort zone, do something that pulls you out of the, I think sometimes we feel isolated and just kind of exhausted and lonely and, and the, and we're going through a hard time. And so the tendency is, well, I can't serve then. But I think the reality is when we step in and walk beside someone else, do something to serve, it kind of refuels, re-energizes us. So, you know, I would say pick something and, and do something.
Yeah. I, you know, and honestly, I would just kind of echo that. I think those are two great, great prayer requests, great challenge. God, just show me how much you love me. You know, it's kind of mirrors my, my journey of, you know, moving from God, put me in the place, my prayer being God, put me in the place where I, you can use me the best, to God, put me in the place where you can love me the best. Yeah. That, that just, it, when that shapes your life, that, that's huge. And then the, you know, just do something. I think three easy things to kind of, evaluate and say, am I doing something? We look at it at Calvary. One is, are you involved in your front yard mission? Are you praying for your hashtag? Are you loving your neighbors? Are you having gospel conversations with people at work, whoever's on your hashtag, classmates, school, whatever? Are you giving? Cause I really think, you know, Jesus said that where our treasures are, our heart follows. And that's a huge piece of being engaged in, in the mission of Calvary. Are you giving generously of your time and your money and your talents? And then I think the third one is, are you leading anything or volunteering? Are you serving like in XYM or Calvary Kids or hospitality greeters or even out in the community, out of the cold, you know, so many different ways like that. So are you serving? Are you leading something? Are you giving? Are you involved in front yard mission? Those are three really simple ways that you can kind of evaluate and say, what am I doing in these areas? What could I do? So last question, as you look forward to the next 7 years, we've talked about a 2030 vision.
Yep.
We're going to be
old.
Old by then.
But I have new knees, so I might have still knees, have some so good energy.
You're good to go. Lynn is more active than I am right now. So
right now, I've been more active than you for decades.
I'm giving you the right now. Not decades. My goodness. I was almost a professional athlete.
I was like
college athlete.
Way more than decades ago. Okay.
So anyway, last question. As now you look forward to the next 7 years till 2030, because we talk about our 2030 vision. What excites you the most? What can you envision happening that would, man, I can see this taking place at Calvary?
I think Wednesday nights, as I'm standing in the back of the room watching this youth room packed with kids, I've started to be hopeful and pray that God's going to bring revival to them. The least expected places sometimes, I think, is where God shows up.
That's good. Yeah, I would say the same. I think my short time at Asbury has just given me just a sense that, man, God is after the next generation. So I'm looking forward to see.
Me too.
What he might do there. So Cindy, you brought on the tears. You can close in prayer.
Well, I have to close in prayer because the last video you did, you said it was the last time you were going to pray with them. So.
Okay. So.
So. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Bride of Christ, for your church that you love, that you gave your life for.
Yeah.
Thank you that we can be a part of that. I thank you for each person that you have called and equipped, and that's all of us to do the work.
Yeah.
God, I pray that each one of us would press more and more deeply into the love of Jesus, that everything that we do and say would be out of an overflow of knowing how loved we are by you. And God, we lift up the next generation. We ask for revival, God. We ask that you would pour your spirit out that this generation that struggles so much with anxiety and isolation and loneliness and fear. God, would you just pour your spirit out on them? Would you transform their minds and their hearts and just come with joy and just an outpouring that makes us stop and grab onto you and say, I don't want to miss this. So God, we trust you. We trust your timing. We trust what you're doing in the next generation. We're trusting that you're using all of us, but that there's something that we're anticipating that you do in the next generation. So thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks for joining us. It's been a fun journey. Thank you to Courtney and all the different people who have had a part in the response time. And we'll see what comes next.